Thank you so much for joining us on another week here of the Magnifying the Master podcast. This is Evangelist Heath Williams, and I want to personally thank you for joining us and allowing us to share with you truth from the Word of God. Last week, we began a series in the life of Ruth, and we looked at Ruth and her rejection and how she said goodbye to Moab, her homeland, and become a follower of God and landed in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. This week, we want to look at Ruth and her romance. Listen to what the Bible says in chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." You know, as I think about this wonderful love story that unfolds here, we find that as Naomi landed back in her homeland and brought Ruth along, that Ruth began to understand the laws and the traditions of that area. And she asked her mother-in-law if she could go out and she could begin to find a field for them to glean in. And of course, you know the laws of that day where any kind of harvesting was going on. If there was some barley that fell by the wayside and dropped out of the reaper's hands, they were to leave it for the poor people to come behind and find some food for their family to eat. And Ruth goes out to look to find some leftovers from the reapers that she could glean in a field. And the Bible says that by hap, she just stumbled into Boaz's field. That reminds us this wasn't by chance. This isn't a word here that means she was lucky to land there, but rather it shows us that there was a holy God that was full of power and wisdom that placed her right where she belonged and right where he wanted her at just the right time. And as Ruth was doing her part to glean in the field, the Bible says that Boaz saw her and he got his eye on her and he began to think, I don't know who she is, but I sure like the way she looks. And he was interested in her. And he began to ask the other men, whose damsel was this? And they told him who she was and how she had landed there in the town of Bethlehem. And he told them, he said, "Boys, you keep your hands off of her." He said, "I'm crazy about her." And he began to show her and to seek after her. And so he sought her. And then we find that he supplied for her. The Bible says that he told his reapers, he said, "Don't just leave what accidentally falls on the ground, but," he said, "for her, because I think so much of her." He said, "I want you to drop some handfuls of purpose." He said, "I just want you to dump it out on the ground and leave big heap piles, if you will, of barley for her to take home to her and to Naomi." And could I say to you today that that is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. He is our heavenly Boaz, and the day that we stumbled into the field, or we came into hearing the gospel, we landed in some church where the man of God lifted up Christ, and we came to an altar or kneeled in a house or wherever we was, and we found out that there was a Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ who had already had his eye on us. He was seeking after us, and he said that he was willing to redeem us. He wanted to change our life. But I'm glad that when I got saved, it didn't stop there. Jesus just didn't say you have to do it by yourself in this life and figure it all out on your own. But I'm glad that we serve a God that he not only saved us, but he supplies for us. Every day that we live, he drops handfuls of purpose. When your heart is breaking in the midnight hour, he's there with some handfuls on purpose. When your children are going crazy, he's got a handful of purpose in your life. When your marriage is suffering, when your heart is breaking, when you walk to the graveyard and you don't think anybody cares and you can't even begin to understand what's going on in your life, I'm glad that we serve a God who has a handful of purpose for you. He loves you and he's there to provide for you. But I love the third part that takes place as Ruth goes back home, Naomi, and you imagine the story here. She's carrying that big load of barley, and probably Naomi said, "My goodness, Ruth, did you steal this? Did you go back to your old ways of Moab? How'd you get this much?" And as Ruth begins to tell her about how that she had landed in Boaz's field, and Naomi knew that he was a next of kinsman, and her heart began to perk up and a smile broke on her face. And she said, "Ruth, that man right there can redeem us. He can change our life." And she told her what to do. She said, "You go to the threshing floor at the threshing house." She said, "You wait until he's finished with his work and he's in resting mode." And when nobody's looking and dark is there and he's laid down, you slide up by his feet, you come humbly, and you ask him to spread his skirt over you, to break that down in country language. Pretty much, Naomi said, Ruth, when you get up there around his feet, he acknowledges you. You ask him to marry you, and you let him know that you're willing to take him up on the offer. Them handfuls of purpose and him showing how much he cared for you. And so, of course, Ruth does just what Naomi says. And she comes in and she looks at Boaz and said, spread thy skirt over me. And Boaz looks at her and he said, I would be honored to. He said, I want you to be my wife. And there we find that day, the initiation and the beginning of the process of them two being engaged together and planning to be married. And could I say to you, it was a great day in my life when the Lord Jesus Christ, as I come and bowed humbly at his feet, and I asked him to take me just as I was. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to be redeemed by his marvelous grace. And Jesus Christ said that he would. He said, I've already had my eye on you. I've done paid the price. And he said, I want to change your life. I'm glad that he not only saved me, but he supplies for me. And every day that I live, we serve a God who has a seal upon us. He sealed us with his blood that he shed on Calvary. And no matter where we go, the devil and everybody in this world can't help but notice that we've been sealed differently. We've been bought with a price. Our life has been changed. I'll share this little story with you in closing. I can't help but when I read the book of Ruth, to think about me and my wife. We've been married close to 6 months now, and so it's still fresh on my mind. I remember what it was like when I saw her for the first time, and the Holy Spirit of God said you was going to marry her. It scared me to death. I said, as ugly as I am and as pretty as she is, there's no way she's going to be interested in me. But I began to pray about it, and the Lord opened the door, and I was able to go up to her hometown. I went for a men's retreat, or at least that's what I said. And I invited her out to breakfast, and we went and ate together. And then I called her on the phone and asked her if I could come back up there the next weekend and take her out to eat. Well, you know how it is. You men can remember these days. I called my buddy, Brother CT, and I asked him, what's the best restaurant in Charleston, West Virginia I could take her to? And he said, are you trying to spend a lot of money? I said, I don't care what it costs. I want the best. And so I, of course, he told me of a place that's known in that area, and I took her to this big steakhouse and tried to impress her, told her to get dressed up. And we went out together, and I did all that I could to impress her and show her how much I thought of her. And several months later, after we got engaged and now married, we was talking, and I was reminiscing, and I told her, I said, well, did I impress you that night? I said, I sure hope so. That meal was pretty impressive, and we laughed about it. And she said, to be honest with you, she said, it didn't impress me at all. Well, I could have cried right there. I said, oh, Lord, help us. I said, I wish I'd have known that. And you know what I found out? My wife told me, she said, I just soon had a double cheeseburger from McDonald's. She said, that would have meant just as much to me. And we've laughed about that many times since. But you know, there's a great truth in that story. The reason that I did the things that I did is because when you love somebody, it'll make you do crazy things. It changes you. There's nobody that can touch my heart like my wife. And I long beyond anybody else to please her and to show her day by day how much I care for her. And could I remind you today that we serve a God, and not to be irreverent, but just to be honest with you, he's crazy about you. His eye has been on you before the foundation of the world. He loves you with a love that you can't comprehend. It's a special love. He's the bridegroom and we're the bride. And every day, the reason he drops you handfuls, the reason he'll walk through the valleys, the reason he'll help your family, the reason he desires to save your children and to give you the desires of your heart through prayer is because he desires to bless you and to encourage you. And he wants you to know just how much he loves you and how much he looks forward to that day in glory land when we put the seal on the deal, the skirt's been spread. Oh, we've been engaged to the Lamb of God, but there's coming a wedding day one day in glory when we're going to marry the Lamb of God. I want to remind you and encourage you today that we've been bought with a price. We have a kinsman redeemer who loves us and cares for you. And no matter what you're going through, he's there and he desires to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. If you need any prayer help, we would love to help you. And we hope you have a good day. God bless you.